It is our last regular season Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. We'll be back once a week throughout the offseason until it's time to draft in 2016. I'm Adam Azer with Scott. Scott.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's been a while, right?
Breaking news. Scott White's on the
like
show.
It's been a while because I was just doing a fantasy football podcast with you like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. What's happening right now? Scott White and Al Melchior. Scott charges Al. Al is choking out Scott White right now in the dugout. Just get along, guys.
Yeah. I wasn't running it out, so.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Exactly. What happened? All I can say is those must be, you know, they both have seemed like difficult people to get along with, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why it escalated to that with Papelbon, and I don't know why Matt Williams let him pitch and removed Harper from the game after it happened.
Yeah, he let him pitch. That's great. And then he got crushed.
He did. The adrenaline wasn't working in his favor, I guess.
I guess not. That was embarrassing. And, what? Not fantasy relevant. Let's help people set their lineup one final time. All right. Rich Hill is, gonna win the Cy Young next year. We got a lot of guys who are being shut down. Big question to start the show today. And of course, everybody can still send us your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Do you sit hitters on teams who have clinched or will clinch this week?
I think there's a, kind of a sliding scale there. I think the fringier the player is, definitely the easier it is to do that. But it seems awfully risky to do with your studs. Unless you've got some other reason.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Unless it's like, and I can't think of a player that this is true of, but one who we actually know, oh, he's going to get a lot of rest the last week. Like, it's a spoken thing.
Yeah.
Well, look, the Blue Jays and the Royals have the same record. So that's good. You want them both competing for home field advantage.
Sure. Yeah, there's still things to play for.
The Yankees could be a team that has nothing to play for, and maybe they rest A-Rod, who's been bad anyway.
Yeah.
Gardner, who's been bad anyway.
Yeah.
McCann, I think, is a possibility. I can't imagine you have a better option.
No.
Let's see. Texas, they could have things wrapped up pretty quickly, and they have no chance of getting the top seed. So, I don't know, fielder maybe?
Chu could sit some. And he's been on fire here to close the season.
I was
going to
say, it'd be actually kind of hard to do that.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, they usually don't give them more than a day or two off. You know, they might pull them early sometimes. But you don't want them to get rusty going into the playoffs and baseball. You know, the routine aspect is such a key part of any player's success, particularly on the hitting end.
Right.
But I don't think it's a huge concern. It's worth talking about, but.
Yeah, like I'm thinking about what the Tigers did a couple seasons ago where, like, they gave Fielder a day off, and I think they gave McGee a day off. Or maybe that was the year where he actually missed some time. I can't remember now, but they, it was like each guy got one day off and it was sort of staggered.
Okay.
So. I imagine that's what most teams would do.
Well, the Royals, after they clinched, my goodness. Did you see the lineup they put out there against Carlos Carrasco?
First baseman Drew Butera.
The lineup was Dyson, Zobrist, Rios, Paolo Orlando, Gomes, Chester Cuthbert, Colon, Butera, and Pena. And Carrasco nearly threw a perfect or no hitter against them. More on the weekend performances in a second.
But to further the point, in the 2 days since, the only one of their regulars Gordon got a day off and Zobrist got a day off, but Rios has started twice, Hosmer started twice, Moustakas has started twice, Kane started twice. I mean,
sure.
They keep playing. Actually, Gordon didn't get a day off. He was at DH. Sorry.
Let's go through the injuries, news, and notes. Houston Street is out for the season, regular season at least, with a groin injury. Joe Smith is also hurt. Mike Morin got a save on Sunday. Is there anybody you would want for this week in the Angels bullpen?
Trevor Gott would appear to be the guy going forward. He's not been good for a month, and he's not a strikeout guy to start with. I'm writing up the waiver wire column, so I'll preview it before I'm even finished with it. It basically said, better than Neftali Feliz, not better than Robbie Ross. So that's pretty low in the pecking order.
Carlos Martinez is out for the season. Masahiro Tanaka, not guaranteed to start this week. He has a hamstring injury. It's been lingering, and they don't know if he's going to start. Aaron Nola will not start. Sonny Gray, do we know anything definitive, or is it just unlikely at this point?
That's it's what
definitive.
I saw. It is?
Well, the language was strong enough that I took it as definitive. if it's not.
Sit him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the upshot.
What about Matt Harvey? Start or sit Matt Harvey this week?
I would probably sit him because I think he'll start, but I think it'll be a short one, even shorter maybe than last time. And the same goes for DeGrom, by the way. I have him in the championship game in the podcast league, and I'm up big heading into the second week, which factors into my decision, but I plan on sitting DeGrom.
All right, Michael Brantley returned to the Indians lineup Sunday. Adam Jones returned to the Orioles lineup. Carlos Gomez pinch ran, stole base Sunday. He could be back soon. You might gamble on him. They need to win. Ryan Braun out for the season. Adrian Gonzalez pinch nerve in his back. Don Mattingly hopes to have him back today. Yan-Hervis Solarte has a strained hamstring. How about Brad Ziegler? This is kind of a random note. Longest active save streak in baseball, 27 in a row.
Raise your hand if you had that one.
impressive season for him.
Yep.
Jose Reyes has been out with a sore Achilles. Starter sit Reyes.
I'd sit him.
Danny Valencia day-to-day. Jared Weaver left Sunday start with a shoulder injury. Matt Shoemaker not going to be able to start on Tuesday. He has an arm issue. Kendrys Morales day-to-day with an ankle injury. And Will Myers sat yesterday, but he could be back on Tuesday. All right. Let's do the standouts. Scott, we haven't heard from you in a week. Who stood out to you this weekend, sir?
Jared Parker would have to be the first name I bring up because he's a nobody, or at least was perceived to be a nobody, who hit 3 home runs on Saturday and actually had 4 home runs in 3 games, if you include Friday's game. And seems to be getting a good amount of playing time down the stretch here for the Giants. He has played, well, at least back-to-back game, 3 in a row.
Three in a row.
They did have a DH in those games, right?
They did, but the DH was Mac Williamson, who himself is a recent call-up. So I don't know. I think it's pretty easy for them to justify playing Jarrett Parker over Alejandro De Haza at this point. And, well, I don't think Parker is really like some kind of prospect, somebody we need to watch out for long term. He's 26 years old. There is definitely power here. He hit 23 home runs in 434 bats at AAA, struck out a ton, and ultimately probably winds up in as like a platoon player in the big leagues. But if he's playing, going into the last week, I'm not sure 3 starts in a row is enough for me to roll the dice on him. But in a deep enough league, I think he's worth mentioning.
All right. Al, anyone? Anyone?
While we're talking about guys with multiple homers, Ender Inciarte, and even less likely than Jarrett Parker in a way to pull off that feat. He's just notable just because he's out there. I think he's way out there, man.
Yeah.
He's out there in a lot of leagues still. And look, he's the sort of guy I actually was talking. We've talked about George Maselli on the podcast before, one of our editors here.
Yep.
Had a lot of interesting baseball conversations with him. And we were both talking about how he's always the guy at the top of the free agent page when you need an outfielder, and neither one of us ever picks him up.
I picked him up. I'm thrilled that I picked him up.
Well, and you should be.
Forget George.
I'm a dummy. George is a smart baseball guy, but I was a dummy in this regard because Inciarte's been, in terms of a points per game or production per game, top 30, top 35 outfielder in both formats. So he's really underowned, and in a week where we're sitting here saying sit this guy, sit that guy because there's so much uncertainty, I don't see a playing time issue for Inciarte, and he's been a steady producer.
He has 6 games this week against 3 bad Rockies pitchers. And then two more righties. He's got five righties on the schedule. Inciarte is really bad against lefties, and he faces Dallas Keuchel on Saturday. At least it's scheduled to be. I don't think Dallas Keuchel's going to pitch Saturday, by the way. I think they should move him up or skip him, because they're going to want him for the Tuesday wild card game, and that means Friday would be the last, unless he's going to pitch on 3 days rest on Tuesday.
Well, they have to actually win the wild card spot first.
They do, but
they can't plan. They can't plan around that wild card game yet.
It doesn't really matter for Enciarte's sake. He has five righties on the schedule, and that's good stuff for him. Yeah. So, okay, I'll do a standout. Steven Strasburg.
That's a big O.
Last four starts, 30 1/3, five earned runs. What's that?
I said that's a big O. I like trailed off.
Oh,
after a week of not podcasting and
not decisive
with my reactions to your names you throw out.
Four walks, 50 strikeouts, and 30 1/3 in his last four starts. Mm-hmm. Granted, against some terrible competition, mostly, but wow.
Yeah.
It's ace more of a level. Next year thing.
For sure. You know, it reminds me of the stretch Chris Sale had earlier this year where, you know, we were ranking Sale and Kershaw neck and neck there at the top. And now Strasburg is doing something similar. Hopefully, unlike Sale, he can maintain it in the future going into next year. And obviously he has the ability to do that, as does Sale, to get back to that kind of production. So I think we're talking about a top 10 option. I think he's clinched it.
Excellent. And how about Rich Hill? Top 15 next year?
Yeah, right.
No, but seriously, I mean, just in case people aren't caught up on it, Rich Hill is 12% owned. He threw a complete game shutout against Baltimore with 10 strikeouts. He now has two walks and 30 strikeouts in 23 innings pitched. Three starts with seven innings or more in all three. He gave up
three strikeouts in all three.
Yeah, three earned runs in those three starts combined. They were all at Toronto. He's got the Yankees on the road this week, and it's just unbelievable what this guy is. I think 35 years old. Yeah, 35 years old with a career 4.55 ERA is doing right now. What do you guys think about Rich Hill? Would you start him this week?
I would,
yeah,
actually,
I would.
Especially since he's relief pitcher eligible. Mm-hmm. In the points leagues, I think that makes it an easy call. And it's not like this is completely out of nowhere. I mean, yeah, he's 35 years old, and for a lot of people, maybe an unknown. But back in 2007, he had a very good year for the Cubs and looked like he was emerging as, a number two, number three type starter for them, and then just fell apart thereafter. But that was still during the height of offensive explosion, home runs being hit everywhere. And as a guy who relies heavily on a curveball, it can lead to some hangers, and that's what happened to him. He got pounded there for a while. But that curveball is just phenomenal, as we're seeing in the strikeouts rate both now and back then. And maybe in today's environment, it's just holding up better for him.
I think he's just really energized by the performance of the Michigan Wolverines so far.
Is that where he went?
Yeah.
I think that must be it, Al. It's a great call.
Thank you.
All right, Rich Hill at the Yankees. Now, another thing about this start, the Yankees have not been very good against lefties since Teixeira's gone out, and this is a late start in the week. Maybe it's Thursday or Friday. They could have clinched by then. So he could have a really bad lineup to face, which would be nice. Anything else?
Just real quick, too, his teammate Henry Owens with another good start. But to me, it's more sort of impactful than just the performance itself is the pattern now that's perpetuated where he's not had a problem with walks against teams that are really regressive.
He's at Cleveland this week.
That should have been aggressive. It sounded more like regressive the way I said it.
I thought you said regressive, and you know vocab words that I don't know, so I was just going with it. Henry Owens is at Cleveland this week. Start or sit?
I'd be inclined to sit because they're a more patient team.
Chris Archer has been pretty bad lately and pretty much lost me whip and ERA on Saturday at Toronto. He gave up 10 hits and 9 runs and 3 2/3. And the walks are just crazy. He's got the Blue Jays at home this week. Are you sitting Chris Archer?
Well, that matchup makes it a little easier to consider there. Last nine starts, 5.16 ERA, and yeah, he's walking a lot of hitters. He is about 15 innings above last year's total. So he's in that unfamiliar territory, and a lot of times we see struggles related to that. I think I'd probably still start him, if I'm being perfectly honest. Just going with the guys who got me there, because I know no one I have on my bench has near the upside of Chris Archer.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tough call, but you know, the thing is, the only teams that are playing right now are great, so they might be able to actually get away with sitting Chris Archer, but.
Yeah.
FanDuel. Hey, listen, you got a week left of regular season FanDuel, but it continues through the playoffs until the World Series. So, you should go on FanDuel right now and start playing some daily fantasy baseball. If you've never tried it before, you can play for just $1. It's really cheap. You can play a 50-50 where half the field wins. You can play a high stakes tournament where not that many people win, but the payouts are bigger. FanDuel is the leader, the absolute best daily fantasy site. This is the one you want to try if you haven't tried it yet. And obviously, if you've tried it, I'm sure you're still playing at FanDuel.com. If you haven't signed up, you can use our offer code. That's CBSPOD. FanDuel's going to match your first deposit up to $200, dollar for dollar, and that gets earned as you play if you use the offer code CBSPOD. You've seen all those commercials. There's like a million offer codes out there. Support our podcast and use the code CBSPOD and have some fun and play some FanDuel. All right, looking at some hitters that I had some questions about for you guys. Well, first of all, if you need a shortstop, Brandon Crawford's been playing, and he's got 8 hits in his last 6 games with a home run and 2 doubles. Scott, have you done your typical hitting planner, good matchups, bad matchups thing?
No, Al did that for me.
Oh!
Because I was out last week.
So, Al, which teams should we target this week with good matchups?
Well, here's the thing. Well, the Cubs have the best matchups, and but it wasn't really a great week for, you know, kind of finding the edge and the sneaky play because of the matchups, because typically the good teams had the better matchups, the worst teams had the worst ones. The worst matchups by far were the Braves. So, there were a few select players that I, pointed out in the column. So the Yankees actually have pretty good matchups. So good week for Greg Bird, even though they're facing some lefties. And, with the Phillies, little double dip, Cameron Rupp and Darren Ruff have surprisingly great splits against lefties, and they're facing 3 of them. At the time I wrote the column, they actually look like they're going to face 4 lefties. But I think even with 3 lefties, Rupp could be a number 2 catcher in mixed leagues, and Ruff could be first baseman, corner infield in a deeper roto league. So I highlighted those guys. So anyhow. I'm not sure how much deeper you want to go with that, but those were some of the key players.
No, that's fine. I was going to say in deep leagues, Dustin Ackley has been playing well if you want to stream him against righties.
So you picked him up.
I did?
I thought you did.
No, not me. Just,
well, somebody did.
Lucas Duda. Feel good about getting him back in your lineup? He's hitting kind of well. Very well.
Yeah. I feel pretty good about that based on the turnaround. He's been awfully streaky this year, but that almost gives me more confidence in him right now while things are going well.
How about these guys who are certainly available in a lot of leagues, and maybe you have questions about starting them? Mikey Matuk, Justin Bour, Chris Davis with a K.
Hey, Chris Davis has got that batting average up to almost 250 now. He's been hitting some singles to go along with those home runs. But actually, I'm not sure. Let's see. I don't see the Marlins on either or worst matchups.
They're pretty much middle of the road.
So the way Justin Bour's been hitting lately, he has 4 home runs in his last 3 games. And he's up to 23 now and 388 at-bats, just really, really showing his stuff as a power hitter. I think he's somebody to consider. Maybe instead of somebody like Adrian Gonzalez, if you're worried about that back flaring up midweek. And I'm not saying necessarily that you should sit Gonzalez if he's supposed to play Monday, but I could understand the concern, and Bour, if he's out there, would be a decent hot hand alternative.
Now, Bohr's got Matt Moore and Drew Smiley this week, first 2 games on the schedule. They're lefties. Then after that, it's Erasmo Ramirez, somebody who's going to be filling in for Aaron Nola. Aaron Harang and David Buchanan. The last four games are looking better for Boer than the first two.
Yeah, in fact, we just had this discussion like 20 minutes ago with Heath. Because he was deciding between Boer and Kendrys Morales, who's banged up. And even with those two lefties at the beginning of the schedule, he went for Boer, and I thought that was the right call.
Yeah, listen, you should have given him bad advice, because I am really trying to fend him off in that league. That epic... That Roto League is epic. Every day, it's either me or Heath switching off first place. It's whoever had more pitchers. It's crazy. We're within like two runs of each other, 2 points in batting average. It's just, oh man, now I have to root against Justin Boer. Thanks. All right. Yeah. Chris Davis, we talked about him. Oh, Miguel Sano. Miguel Sano is struggling right now. Would you sit him?
I would not. No.
The struggles were long overdue, but I agree. Can't sit him.
That said, I did rank the Twins as the fourth worst matchups for the week, but Sano, to me, even with the struggles, is not even close to being that fringy.
Well, then let's go through the pitchers here. The very highly owned guys. Shelby Miller, starter sit against St. Louis.
I'd start him.
Shelby?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm done with Shelby.
Wouldn't it be funny if he faces the best team in baseball, arguably, or the best team in the National League, at least, and finally gets that win in his last start?
I guess it would be funny, but man, it hasn't been a bad luck thing recently. He's just been bad. His whip now is 1.27 on the year. He's going to fall short of 200 innings again. This is not. He has not pitched like a frontline starter this year. For as good as it looked at the beginning, the strikeouts are down, the walks are back up, just inefficient, just not good.
Yeah. Okay. Danny Salazar. It's been up and down a little bit lately. He's got Boston this week at home.
He definitely start Salazar.
Yeah, I agree.
Jake Odorizzi has either Miami or Toronto this week. I think it's actually going to be Toronto.
That might make a little difference.
Yep. Because it looks like it's Smiley more Smiley Erasmo against the Marlins. So
now those are Toronto. That's all home, right? For
yes.
The Rays.
Yes.
I'd probably start them
against Toronto.
I wouldn't against Toronto. Kind of fringy. I'd rather have like an Irvin Santana type.
I have to agree with that. If you're making the decision in the absence of information, though, and again, it's a week where there's a lot of guys that are really questionable starts.
I gotcha.
I'd lean towards starting.
Scott Kazmir is either at Seattle or at Arizona.
And I think that one makes a difference, too, because I'm just not trusting Kazmir in good hitters' parks right now. And Arizona's a good hitting team.
I cut Kazmir in two leagues for this final week. So, obviously standard mixed leagues, but I'm not.
Right.
Based on the way he's pitched recently, there's no way I'm going with him.
We have him slated for Seattle. But things could change. Jordan Zimmermann at Atlanta this week.
Yeah, you could start him.
Yep.
Jose Fernandez. He's only going five innings since coming back from that second injury.
Well, but two of those starts, he wasn't very good and not efficient. So the pitch counts are not really that much of a concern at this point. Performance is actually more, which is weird to say, more of a question mark for Fernandez, but I would start him.
Looks like he's at Philadelphia. All right, we'll start him. James Shields at the Dodgers this week. He's got a 3.24 ERA against the Dodgers in four starts this year.
Well, I have him in one 12-team league, and it's one I'm not even that good in, but I've opted to sit him this week because, particularly since it's a Roto League, and ERA and WHIP, he's doing me more harm than good, especially recently. Still pitches deep enough into games that decent chance for a win in a points league. I might feel a little better about starting him, but I don't think it's something I'm actively looking to do.
Julio Teheran, home start against the Cardinals, who hopefully will have nothing to play for. Start or sit?
Like him a little more than Shields, but he's in the same category.
Yeah, I agree. I'd lean towards starting him.
All right, let's go a little deeper. Andrew Heaney at Texas.
Nah.
Mm-mm.
Carlos Rodon against either Kansas City or Detroit this week.
Yeah, let's start him.
Yeah, he walked five at the Yankees Friday, but really, last eight starts, 181 ERA for Rodon, 21 walks, 49 strikeouts in 54 and two-thirds. What are you thinking about him going into 2016?
Potential stud.
Yeah, chance to be a big-time breakout. Probably, without having actually lined up the names, I would say outside the top 40 in terms of where I draft him, but a lot of upside.
Probably right around 40 for me, I would think. I'm rooting, actually, for, and this is rare to root for this for a pitcher, but I'm actually rooting for a Royal start for Rodon, because if there are control issues, their aggressiveness should blunt that. And the Tigers, with all the righties they run out, they might actually be a tougher matchup for Rodon.
Rank these three guys in 2016. Whatever you say now you have to keep it for the rest of the offseason.
All right.
Rodon, or Nola, Rodon, Severino.
Severino, Rodon, Nola.
Ditto.
Okay. Wei-Yin Chen, Yankees this week. 370 ERA and four starts against them.
Yeah, no way.
No way. No, a lot of lefties in that lineup. And like you said, Adam, maybe not even a complete lineup. I'd start him. And I'm almost one to almost never start Wei-Yin Chen again with one start. I like this.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, a lot of implosion potential in that park especially.
Irvin Santana, must start against the Royals?
I would say so. I mean, six straight starts, seven-plus innings, two earned runs or fewer. He just feels as reliable as anyone you could throw out there this last week.
Josh Tomlin, oh. Man, when you start Josh Tomlin and Chris Archer on the same day, it wasn't a great weekend for you.
The thing was, it wasn't even home runs that killed him. He gave up a solo shot, but that was it in the 3 2/3 innings.
Well,
so,
yeah, he's got Boston this week. What do you think?
A lot of implosion potential.
Yeah, I would pass.
Anthony DeSclafani against the Cubs.
Definitely passing on that one.
Okay, that was an easy one. How about Kevin Gausman against Toronto?
By the way, I would not so easy on DeSclafani. Mm-hmm. For me, it's mostly just a home start against a good team. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of matchups where I would have gone with DeSclafani this week.
He's had a really mm-hmm. solid year.
Yeah.
So.
I was considering the home start against a solid team when I said it was an easy one.
Yeah. Okay.
Buddy.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know that everyone listening was.
No, that's fair.
Clarify. He's not garbage.
Well, Kevin Gausman is an easier sit, in my opinion, against Toronto.
Yes. I'll agree.
Yeah.
I just want to see the standings here in the Central, NL Central. So Pittsburgh is 4.5 games up on the Cubs. So it looks like they're going to be hosting that wild card game. And those two teams don't have much to play for this week. The Cardinals have nothing to play for. Well, they have a few games left to determine that, I suppose. They're three games up on Pittsburgh with six or seven left. And the Dodgers and the Mets are neck and neck right now. Mets are slightly ahead of the Dodgers, looking for home field advantage in that first round series. Some deep league targets. Jared Eichhoff has been pitching pretty well lately. Ah, nice. I like it. Eichhoff has either the Mets or the Marlins this week. I'll look that one up, see who we have him slated against. Any interest in him? He's 12% owned.
Those are home starts?
Yeah.
For him? I would probably not. So, I mean, in a deep league I would, but otherwise I probably wouldn't start Eichhoff.
But how impressive has he been?
Yeah.
Like, I had zero expectations for him, and I don't know if the 10 strikeout game last time is, if that's something we can anticipate seeing much of in the future, but just overall the consistency, he's looked an awful lot. He's looked a lot like Aaron Nola, to be perfectly honest.
Tyler Duffy, Kansas City this week.
I'm good with that. Start him.
He's playing well. He's pitching well. Robbie Erlin at the Dodgers.
Nope, not at the Dodgers.
And would you take a chance on Adam Warren at Baltimore as an RP?
No, I would not.
Me neither.
Any bullpen news? Will Harris got a save on Saturday. Luke Gregerson was terrible.
There's a lot of bullpen news.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we got Neftali Feliz is the Tigers guy.
Seems like it, yeah. He got the save with Rondon sent home.
What else do we need to cover other than the Angels?
Well, we talked about Trevor Gott.
Mentioned the Angels. What about the Orioles situation? Darren O'Day was piling up saves there, but that's because
Britton was hurt.
Zach Britton was out with a lat injury, but he pitched Sunday, so I don't think O'Day is looking like a good source of saves for the final week. And I don't know if you guys mentioned this last week. You probably did, but it caught me by surprise, and I noticed he was still available in an AL-only league. Robbie Ross has seemed to emerge as the Red Sox closer.
Yeah. I think we did talk
about
it. We did.
We definitely did, yeah.
Yeah.
I like him more than anyone the Angels have to offer, and more than Feliz probably, too, because Feliz hasn't been very good. And not that Ross is great, but he's a little more reliable than Feliz.
I want to look at the most added list here, and Rich Hill is number one. Cody Anderson is number two. Heath just picked him up, so let's hope for terrible things for Cody Anderson this week on the mound.
We're all rooting against
him. Yeah, you're enlisting the whole audience.
Off the field, I hope great things for him, but Minnesota and Boston, two-start week for Cody Anderson. Are you trusting him?
In a rare turn of events for me, yes, I am. I like the matchups for him. And with two starts, the lack of strikeouts bothers me a lot less.
Marcus Stroman is on the most added list. He's been great.
Yeah. Must start this week with two starts.
It's still pretty available.
Yeah.
Yeah, 58% own. He is the main reason why I don't really worry about the Blue Jays right now. But without him, it's like Price and, you know, you might get a good start from Estrada. You might get a good start from Dickey, but you can't really trust their rotation. But Stroman makes them so much better.
The ace in the hole.
I guess so. Who's going to win the World Series? What do you think?
You just talked me into Toronto. No, yeah, no, I think I would have picked them anyway. I liked the Mets until I've kind of been reminded here the last few weeks that there's reason to worry about that young rotation in the playoffs, which I think you were saying at the time I was hyping them, Adam.
That was my concern with them, yeah.
I feel like they're the most well-rounded team if we're beginning on day one, but we're not. So I'm going to take the Blue Jays.
I will too. I'd say up until pretty recently, I liked the Royals over them, but yeah, I think the Blue Jays have actually become a more complete team.
They are so good. I mean, they've got some amazing arms in the outfield. You've got guys like Pilar and Smoke, who their season numbers don't look that good, but they contribute. And their middle relief maybe scares me a little bit, but they're great. I think home field advantage would be really important in a Blue Jays Royals series because the park in Kansas City might limit them a little bit, that offense, the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And they need Cueto, obviously. He's going to be an X factor for them, but they're playing so much better. And the NL, I mean, everybody always hates on the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals shouldn't be this good for all the injuries they've had. Carlos Martinez now out for the year. Waka's not pitching that well.
Lackey is, though.
Lackey is.
Lackey's picking up this lackey.
Jaime had a great start yesterday.
National League's going to be fun and interesting. You know, I could see the Cubs going to the World Series. I could see the Dodgers going.
You know what? I'd forgotten about the Cubs. I was thinking Cardinals, Pirates. The Cubs might be the best team in the National League.
Yeah.
Downgrading the Mets pitching staff for the innings. Because I don't know how much you guys got into this last week, but I think Jake Arrieta's, at least in my mind, the new front runner for Cy Young.
Oh, and this guy, he just hates Zach Greinke.
Arrieta's numbers are better.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I know. Arrieta's got a case.
And by a bigger margin than I was arguing Kershaw's were before. But to your point, I mean, Kershaw Greinke's still the best 1-2 punch. I think Arrieta Lester isn't that far behind. Mm-hmm. But the Dodgers could just ride those two kind of like the Diamondbacks did in 2001. And
both teams have a lot of depth too. So, you know, they can deal with injuries. They can, mix and match guys.
I like the NL wild card winner to win the NL. It's a shame that Pittsburgh's going to lose because Jake Arrieta's going to destroy them again like he did last night.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know. But I like that the winner of that game to win the NL. And then lose to the Blue Jays. I guess I'll be trendy and go with the front runner and go with the Blue Jays as well. All right, more on the most added list here. We got Rowenis Elias. Is he a two-star guy? He better be.
He is.
And he's got Houston and Oakland. So I know you did this on Friday, but how do you feel about Rowenis Elias?
Yeah, he's not really near the top of my shopping list for the week.
And we've pretty much covered all the other relevant guys on this list. So we'll read some emails, help out our listeners here on this Monday. Let me just pull up the emails. Ooh, man, we got a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah. Dynasty question. It's from Greg in Houston. Dynasty question. So I also, full disclosure, we had a rush to do this show today, studio issue. So we went on before I was fully prepared, before I was able to go through all the emails. But I'll go through them now. Greg in Houston, quick dynasty question. I was offered Andrew McCutchen and Jose Abreu for George Springer and Miguel Cabrera in a points league. So give up Springer and Cabrera in a dynasty league for McCutchen and Abreu.
I like it.
I like it too. I mean, it's a good fair trade, but I like it.
Yeah, I think you have more good years left with McCutchen than Miggy, and long-term Abreu and Springer's probably about a wash.
Addison in Atlanta says, "Dear Carlos, Miguel, and Corey." Rookies. Correa, Sano, Seager.
Ah.
"I'm in an 8-team, 5x5 head-to-head keeper league. Heading into next season, we're trying to determine a way to reward walks for batters. Would you recommend changing batting average to on-base percentage or just adding walks as a counting stat?"
I would personally change average to OBP.
As would I. I think putting walks on an equal playing field overvalues them. Obviously, just having batting average and not giving any credit to walks undervalues them. But I think the good the middle ground there is changing batting average to OBP.
Next email is from Scott Dodds in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It says, "Dear Tandy, Commander, or Commodore, Tandy, Commodore, and Amiga."
Early computers.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yeah, never heard of the Tandy or Amiga.
Tandy was a Radio Shack brand.
Oh, yeah?
Interesting.
Yeah.
"Byron Buxton just hit his waiver wire in a keeper league, 100% keeper league.
Whoa.
Do I drop Juck Peterson, Javier Baez, or Brett Gardner for Byron Buxton?"
Oh, boy, I was hoping there'd be a easier name to drop.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a pretty good keeper roster there if those are the low guys. I'd be tempted to drop Gardner. He's not young for his skill set. And, yeah, he's kind of come back down to earth here in the second half. Strikes me as someone who's going to be kind of fringy in a mixed league anyway. So I like that.
Anton asks, "Are there any scheduled two-start pitchers that you think might not get their second start?"
Oh, boy, I'm going to have to pull that list up top of my...
The whole list.
I'd say, yeah, it could be the whole list. And you know, definitely, I'll tell you, one that comes to mind, because it was somebody I was looking at just before the podcast, is Matt Moore.
Yep, that's who I was going to say.
But he, at minimum, he gets the Cardinals. If he loses a second start, oh, well, he doesn't face the Blue Jays, so he... They Rays might do you a favor by making more a one start guy, and I would start him. Nobody else here jumps out. So yeah, that's the one that's obvious to me.
What about like Kershaw or Greinke?
I don't care.
All right, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Shane and Yonkers, pick three between McCutchen, Arenado, Upton, Justin Upton, that is, J.D. Martinez, Sano, Schwarber, Corey Seager. I'll read them again. So keep three. Draft slots don't matter. Keepers are rounds 1 through 3. Andrew McCutchen, Nolan Arenado. I think we're keeping them. Justin Upton, J.D. Martinez, Miguel Sano, Kyle Schwarber, Corey Seager.
Oh, God, yeah, those last three. I think I'll go Sano. It's going to be one of those last three guys, and it really could be any one of the three. I'll just give the edge to Sano.
He's already got Arenado, though.
Ah, okay. I think that makes a difference. So
I go for Seager for the shortstop myself. But why are we dismissing J.D. Martinez in this?
Just pure upside.
It's how many keepers total?
Three.
Three? There's so much roster turnover in that league that, I mean, how early is Seager going to be drafted next year? Sixth, seventh round at the earliest? That even sounds kind of high to me. Or, you know, I guess Sano might be a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But Martinez, I think Martinez in a league with that much turnover, I'd just go with the best next year option. Just him.
Here's an email from Matt in Boston. Since it's the end of the season, I was looking for Al to explain the sim leagues he does. I've heard him say that they are his favorite leagues, and I just wanted to hear him talk about it.
Sure. Well, the one that Scott and I both have played for a few years, obviously we've been playing this format for like 15 years, the score sheet. I've played others like Stratomatic and Dynasty League Online. But yeah, score sheet is pretty unique because it's current. It's a current season sim. A lot of sims like Stratomatic, you're playing a previous season. And so it really the game is just you're trying to put together the best roster out of performances that you pretty much know what they are. But with Scoresheet, you're playing a current season sim where they simulate the previous week's worth of games with the roster that you build. So when you set a lineup at the beginning of the week, just like in standard fantasy, you don't know what's going to happen. But you have a lineup card where you set your batting order, you position your players, there's defense matters, there's defensive ratings, you set a bench with substitution preferences, you set a rotation with hook preferences, you set a bullpen with different roles for all your relievers, and then based on those instructions, you play a schedule of six or seven games that week based on that week's stats, and get spit back to you in a weekly report with box scores and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably closer to managing what managing a real life team would be like than fantasy is, because you are actually setting a lineup and your team is actually going up against another pitcher in one of those games, and actual individual games are being simulated as opposed to points being earned from right. stats that are being put up in real life.
And yeah, that's a very cool aspect of it. And the fact that defense counts, and you know, you can make your own closer. So you're not, you know, saves don't really matter. I don't think they matter at all, in fact. And I think wins only matter marginally for starting pitchers.
So, but what are the simulations based on? How do they determine how the players do?
They're based on the, well, in Scoresheet's case, the previous week's stats, but it's more of a like if somebody hits a home run for you in fantasy, you just get the home run.
Right.
Somebody hits a home run for you in Scoresheet, they're much more likely to hit a home run that week, but it depends on the pitcher they're facing and among other things.
And some chance.
Yeah. It changed a batter's performance or a player's performance in a week influences the probabilities of certain outcomes for the next week. And usually the stats come out to very close to what he actually did in real life, but there are some variances based on head-to-head matchups and chance.
Last email here is from Jim in Merced, California. Dear Oscar Mayer, Farmer John, and Hormel. Hormel. Are those hot dog brands?
Farmer John, I thought, was a grocery chain. I could be wrong about that. Because the others would be hot dogs.
Among other things, I mean.
Yeah, other
Hormel
meats.
Makes canned items. And, yeah, chili.
Yeah. You know how much shopping I do. Now I don't know Hormel at all. Okay, 12-team head-to-head points league. No considerations on the keepers. You can have them for their entire career if you want. Michael Pineda or Luis Severino?
Severino.
Yeah, it's tough, but yeah. I'll go to Severino as well.
And before we finish the show, let's hear Al's FanDuel lineup.
All right. Well, I won't even, you know, go through the whole thing. Basically, there's one pitcher I think that's worth picking on and possibly stacking against, and that's Felix DuBrant. He is facing the Angels. Might think it's hard to stack Angels.
Yeah, it is.
But I actually have a real stack here. I've got Mike Trout at $5,000. I've got Chris Anetta at catcher. I've got Johnny Giavitella at second and David Fries at third. So those three players make it easy to afford Trout. And plus, I went a little cheaper on pitcher with Justin Verlander instead of Zach Greinke. And I don't really feel like I'm sacrificing much in quality, and I'm saving a substantial amount of money there.
Cool. Good stuff. Thank you. Yeah, listen, FanDuel's a lot of fun. Keep on playing throughout the season. If you have any fantasy baseball questions, you can email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I'll do my best to respond to the emails, even though we're not going to have any podcasts for the rest of the week. But we will be back next week to celebrate Scott's podcasting championship.
I hope so.
I'll go ahead and,
I'm up big.
Go ahead and jinx you right now.
Yeah.
But you've earned it. And and we'll wrap up the season and start looking ahead to the playoffs into 2016. Scott Nell, great to have you back for our final regular season show. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, great season, Adam. Thanks.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. Hopefully this isn't the last time you listen, but
we're going to be back in the off-season.
Absolutely. You just want to hear...
Off-season shows are fun.
Just going to talk baseball.
Fantasy baseball. We can peel back the layers a little more. There's no rush. We can talk about everybody because it's not like, oh, this guy's too owned. Nobody's owned.
Exactly.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. Should be a great time. For Al Melchior and Scott White, for all of you for listening all season long, thank you so much. Good luck this week if you're still playing. I'm Adam Azer. Have a great day.